right. So I want to talk to you today. How many ever have had a problem in your life? Raise your hand if you had a problem in your life. Okay, if your hand's not up, you're lying, and that's problematic, okay? No, how many know we've all had problems? Come on. How many ever had any big problems in your life? How many had some small problems in your life? How many had big problems and small problems all at the same time in your life? How many are sitting next to a problem? No. Get your hands down. You're like, I'm sitting next to my biggest problem right now. Get your hands down. You unrighteous people. I want to talk to you today about the solution to our problems. And you say, Pastor, are you kidding me? You're gonna tell me today how to solve all my problems? Oh, that's exactly what I'm gonna do. Look at your neighbor and say, you came at the right day. I'm gonna talk to you about how you solve your problems. Have you ever had a big mess that you had to clean up? Or a big job that seemed like it was impossible for you to do yourself? Or a big problem that you just couldn't figure out how you were going to fix it? We all have. But you have come the right day. I'm going to show you how to get out of the mess, how to solve your problems, how to take care of that big job that seems impossible to do. And the answer is actually way more simple than you think. James chapter 4 and verse 2 says this. In the end of it, it says, you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. The Bible never promises us as Christians that the storms aren't going to come. Matter of fact, Jesus teaches, how many believe in Jesus? How many believe in Jesus' teachings were true? Here's what Jesus said. He didn't say that for Christians, storms aren't going to come. When he talked about the sower sows the word, when he talked about building your life on a firm foundation. In that parable, he says this that's interesting. He says that the storms are going to come to everyone. The difference isn't that storms come to unrighteous and storms don't come to the unrighteous. The Bible doesn't teach that. Jesus doesn't teach that. Here's what Jesus teaches. That the righteous build their foundation on the rock, on the word, on Jesus Christ. And so, here's what he says. When the storms come, somebody say, when the storms come. When the storms come, that house, because it is built on a firm foundation, it is steady. And so it can sustain the storm. But the one who builds his house on the sand, the storm comes and it ruins that foundation. It ruins that house because it wasn't built on a firm foundation. You say, Pastor, you're going to tell me how to get out of my mess? You're going to tell me how to solve my problems? Well, let me tell you this first. And this might not seem like good news, but it is the reality. You can't solve your problems. You can't get out of your mess. You can't fix your marriage. How many know what I'm saying? The answer to our problems are Jesus Christ. The answer to our problems is relationship with Jesus Christ. The answer to our problems is asking God into our mess, into our marriages, into our finances, into the medical report, into the situations where you think, how in the world, into the addictions, into into life itself. That is the answer, to get God invited in. Think about it in a practical way. How many ever experience a garage that is crazy a mess? And you just think about the garage and you think, oh my goodness, I'm going to. And that's why it's so messy, because you keep on putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And so now it's a big mess. Well, if you look at that situation just in a very practical way, how might you solve that problem? Here's how you might solve that problem. Invite me over to your house. Right? You're going to set me up with the pizza, but after the pizza is done, you don't have me over for pizza. You have me up for a party, right? A clean the garage party, right? And all of a sudden, watch this. In just a very practical way, your problem gets cut in half. Come on, somebody. Dr. Radke teaches us, as far as ministry, you know what? The first thing that Dr. Radke taught us is don't do ministry alone. Amen. John Maxwell said, if you can obtain your vision by yourself, your vision is too small. Amen. We have a wonderful Spanish service tonight that I won't be preaching at tonight. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Because if I was preaching the Spanish service, you know what? It would consist of something like this. Joel, silencio, por favor. You know, Tony, siéntese. Right? And mucho tacos el bueno. Hallelujah, amen. Right? I mean, no, it would be a short, very ineffective, very uninspiring sermon. But I don't have to do it. Why? Because, you know what? We've partnered with people in our family that have the ability to preach dynamic, inspiring, you know what? Heartfelt sermons. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, you're going to help. You're going to cut your workload in half by just inviting a friend over to help you. How are you going to fix your problem? You can invite Jesus into your mess. And let me tell you what. How many know Jesus is closer than the friend? And how many know this? That we serve. What God do we serve? Sometimes we forget what God we serve. And I'm jumping ahead of myself, but this is good. Sometimes we forget what God we serve. You know what God we serve? We serve God Almighty. Amen. How many know God's ways are higher than our ways? So you get in situations where you don't know what the answer is. You don't know the solution. You don't know how you're going to get out. You don't have to know how you're going to get out. You just have to invite the one in that can help get you out. Amen. We looked at it last week, but there's several situations in the New Testament where we see people who had problems that were unsurmountable in the natural. that were so enormous that there's no way, that there was no cures, there was no way out. The woman with the issue of blood, she had been sick for 12 years. Listen to me, it's not that she didn't ask for help. It wasn't that she wasn't seeking, you know what, the medical field, the best the medical field had. Because the Bible says she, for those 12 years, was continuing to ask the medical field, and they continued to take her money. But the Bible says, but she grew worse. It wasn't that she wasn't asking for help. But at some point in time, her situation changed. The man whose daughter was sick, 12-year-old daughter, to the point of death, comes to Jesus and asks him for what? His help. The Israelites, they're enslaved for hundreds of years, and finally they start to cry out to God. You know what? And the Bible said that God heard their cry. Lazarus' family, when Lazarus was sick, hadn't died yet. The people who went to Jesus were from Lazarus' family, seeking Jesus because they were asking that that Jesus come and what? Come on, somebody say it. Come and what? Help. That's what they were asking for. The blind man. Remember the blind man? And he's told what? He's told what?
Shut up.
Be quiet. Don't bother him. And what does he do? He cries, the Bible says, even louder.
Amen. Come on.
What does he need? He needs what? He needs help. Now, here's what I want to ask. All these situations, blindness, issue of blood, you know what? Slavery. You know, this daughter almost gonna die, and then actually then did die. What do they all have in common? They all needed help. And not only did they all need help, which they have in common, but it's so good, but they all ask for help. Like, Pastor, that's your sermon? That's your sermon? You know, I got a text yesterday that said that you were going to show me how to get out of my mess. And that's what you got today? Ask God? Listen, this sermon might not seem very deep, but could you do me a favor? Could you hold on a little bit? Could you be willing? You know, this morning I was just kind of contemplating. I was kind of meditating. I was kind of thinking. How many know sometimes we just get too busy? We don't even have time to think. We have no time to analyze. We give ourselves no time to analyze really where we're at. You know what I'm asking you for the next, you know what, 20, 25 minutes? Could you do me a favor? Could you analyze some things? Could you not come up with the conclusion already? Which is, I ask for God's help all the time. This is a stupid sermon. Duh, ask God for help. Duh, whoa, Pastor, that's deep. Could you do me a favor? Could you just hold off on your judgment? And could you be willing, I'm asking somebody, that you'd be willing to examine yourself? Because maybe the answer that you have initially isn't really the answer. Maybe if we look into it and allow the Holy Spirit to dig into our hearts a little bit, maybe many of us will be convicted and recognize, oh my goodness, that is my problem. That I walk around day after day, week after week, sometimes month after month, year after year, never asking for God's help. And maybe that is the issue. Well, I started thinking, why wouldn't people ask for help? I got to think this. And here's how I think. I don't just want to come up with another message for you today. You know what I mean? Oh, I got to preach another message. That's not how I think. I think there is a message that I need to figure out what God is saying, what he wants me to minister to his people. Does that make sense? And so watch this. When God comes up with, and those of you who's just like, oh, I don't, you know, that freaks me. You know, there's some people, some Christians that freak out when people say God speaks to them. You know who freaks me out? Are the Christians who think that God doesn't speak to them. That's the Christians who freak me out. Amen. Come on. And so I believe that the Bible says that my children know my voice. Amen. The Bible is clear throughout the Bible that God wants us to have a relationship with him. And so I have a relationship with God, and God speaks to me. And God spoke to me and said, this is the message that I want you to preach. Well, so I'm thinking, you know what? Yeah, that makes sense. But if the message is that we're not asking for help, then I ask God, well, why aren't we asking for help? Well, I want you to write down these three things. Number one, actually four things. Actually five, no, I'm just joking. Okay, four things. Number one, we just get too busy. And then after you write down, we just get too busy, then put a comma and then put blessed after that. You know, it trips me out that God, how many know all good things come from the Father of lights? Now, I'm going to preach some things that are biblical, but not in some circles religiously correct. I don't care about being religiously correct. I said, I don't care about being religiously correct.
Amen. Yes.
I'm in good company because Jesus didn't care about being religiously correct. He cared about being true. He cared about preaching truth. I would much rather preach truth than preach, you know what, religiously, than I'm trying not to offend anybody. The Bible says, God, help us when everybody's speaking good about us. So I'm not trying to make you feel comfortable today. I'm trying to preach and deliver the truth. But let me tell you about God. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's the truth. Amen. Here's another truth, that God has promised never to leave us or forsake us. That is the truth. Here, I'll give you another truth. God has promised, if you keep your focus right, that God will take care of your needs. Amen. I will. The Bible says, if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. I hear this preaching that is trying to be spiritual. But you can't be spiritual when you're unbiblical. Amen? And you would have to just rip out chunks of the Bible to think that God doesn't care about your physical needs. You'd have to rip out chunks in your Bible to not see that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I mean, whole chunks of your Bible. You'd have to tear out a bunch of the Old and New Testament to believe that. It's not true. God does want to bless his people. It is his good pleasure, the Bible says, to give to his children. And before you get, again, all spiritual on me to go, oh, well, that's not talking about financial blessings, my brother. You know what? Read your Bible. Watch how God took care of the Israelites. And he didn't just take care of their spiritual needs. He took care of their physical needs.
Physical, yes.
Amen?
Amen.
And this new skinny jeans theology that's out there that says, oh, it's unfashionable to say that God wants to bless us in any way but spiritual is just a bunch of hooey. Amen. Now, listen to the whole thing. Can we take a truth and overemphasize it and it becomes distorted and wrong? Absolutely we can. And I do not believe in becoming like much of the world has become, focused on finances and focus on materialism. The Bible says we came in with nothing and we're going to leave with nothing. So I don't want to get the emphasis on the wrong thing. Having said that, to teach that God doesn't care about your physical needs is absolutely unbiblical. It's not true. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when God does start to bless you, and in that blessing comes responsibility. In that responsibility comes busyness. In that busyness, responsibility comes fruit from that. Amen. And your business expands and your blessings expand. And it doesn't have to be just in business. It can just be having a family. Amen. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. How many still believe that your kids are a blessing to you? Come on, somebody say amen. And I got to force that one out of some of you. No, your kids are a blessing. Amen. And I know they're a challenge, but I'm, you know what, being facetious, but you know what, they are such a blessing, and you know that. But that, here's what I'm saying. But that which God has given to you in your life to bless you in the course of time, sometimes in a little bit of time, can become the very thing. Satan will use anything. Listen to me. It's interesting to me because of the two things that I hear God warning us about more than anything else, repetitive, to watch it, that is coming against the relationship with Him and us. You know what the two things are? Finances and family. Come on, say it with me. Finances and family. And so the very thing that God has placed in our life to bless our life ends up being, if we're not mindful of it, the very things that are going to keep us from fulfilling what God has called us to do. And it doesn't happen overnight. But it's amazing how quickly it can happen. It's amazing how quickly people start to not serve because their business is too blessed. It's amazing how quickly people start to, you know what, separate themselves from the church because their kids are becoming ungodly and they don't want to create a rift. So they compromise, and the very thing that they're compromising is showing their kids the wrong example. Shake your head like this if you understand what I'm saying. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10. I have it here up on the screens. Or do I have it up here on the screen? Deuteronomy. Oh, because I changed it from 8 to... Yeah, sorry. My fault. Oh, my goodness. Tell me when that pops up again. It's got a sun. Deuteronomy chapter 6. What did I say, 10, right? Look what it says. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into a land of which I swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build. See, listen, you can't take that out of the text. Sorry, it doesn't fit your spiritual narrative. I'm just saying you can't take that out of the text. And whose will was it that they live in large and beautiful cities? Whose will was that? Sorry, I'm messing up your theology. I'm just teaching you what the text says. Amen. Can I tell you the one thing? Listen to me. Can I tell you the one thing that causes the Word of God to have no effect in your life? The tradition of men. Be willing to submit your what you've learned in the past to what God is teaching you from His Word. Listen to me. Be willing to put under what you have learned in the past to what God is showing you in His Word. Did you notice the difference? I didn't say be willing to sacrifice or put under what you learned in the Word of God. I said what you have learned. And let me tell you about the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't ever contradict itself. Ever. If you think it does, study more, because it doesn't. And be willing not to shove a round peg into a square hole and hit it hard enough to get it through the hole. And just go, see, it went through the hole. Be careful not to make a verse say what you want it to say, because you don't have the integrity to hermeneutically look and see what it's really saying. Here's what the Bible says. So it shall be when the Lord has the Lord your God brings you out of the land which He swore to the fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land of beautiful cities which you did not build. Houses full of all good things. Somebody say, all good things.
All good things.
Which you did not fill. Hewed out wells which you did not dig. Vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. And when you have eaten and are full, then what? Then what? Oh, you don't have it up here. Then beware. Somebody say beware.
Beware.
Beware. Lest you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. We get so busy sometimes, we just forget God. You just can forget God. And so when you forget God, you know what? You forget. We were digging and digging and digging and digging and digging. And you know who I forgot? I forgot you and your brother. And I was digging, right? You had a good attitude, right? Willing to come down, willing to help, praise God. And all of a sudden I thought, oh my goodness. And how many know that was a good day? He and his brother came out, and I put them in the hardest place. It was the deepest, and it was the hardest, because over here, the ground was, all the ground was soft, but over there, there was water over there. So it was deep. They were 6 feet deep over there. We dug a trench. I wish I had a picture of it. I got a picture of it, but I wish I had it ready. We dug a trench from over to my office all the way through over to there. And it was wide enough somebody could be in it, and it was deep enough. It was about 3 feet deep on this side. It was 6 feet deep on that side. And I put you and your brother over there on purpose because you're big and tall and strong. Not that there were others that weren't big and tall and strong, but I thought, you know what, I'm going to bless you. The Bible says if you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. So I put you in bountiful territory. But the thing that was hard about that was, it was not only deep, it's hard because it's deep because you're shoveling and you got to lift that shovel up and get it out. And then it was super hard because that mud will stick to your shovel. And it's very heavy, and they did a outstanding job. But here's my point. Amen, amen. And you know what? And they all did an outstanding job. But here's the thing. Here was the thing. When I remembered you guys, I was like, oh! We need to have a revelation in the church. We need to have a moment in your mess. Oh, what am I doing? And let me tell you about God. God is God Almighty. You get Him in your, you think these guys helped me. You get God in your problems, and He is so smart, so intelligent. I have had God show me things that I had no idea how to get out, how to fix, what do I do? I had God come in there, and He just has a way because, watch this, He's so smart, He's so intelligent, He is the God of Almighty, and watch this, He's a supernatural God. So now, watch this, where your friends, He's like, oh, and we do this sometimes, and thank God for our spouse. Oh, I'll just ask my wife, she'll figure it out. Or, oh, just ask my husband, he'll help. Or I'll just ask my cousins. Listen, your wife and your spouse and your husband and your cousin all put together, it ain't even close to as smart as God, amen. And your wife and your, anyway, God is unlimited. Do you understand? So number one, I'm going to give this back to you, Tony, so it doesn't overheat. Okay. Number one, you know what? Sometimes we just get too busy. We forget to get a better, forget about God, and so we don't ask God. Number two, sometimes, listen to me. Sometimes you say, you're just so quick to defend. Do you understand that? And you never allow the Holy Spirit to convict because you're too busy. Self-deception is the worst deception. So don't judge this yet. Let the Holy Spirit judge it. Shake your head like this if you're going to do that. Listen, sometimes we don't ask because we really don't believe that God can help us. See? Don't defend. Just listen. If we get to this end and you go, that doesn't apply to me, that's okay. How many know you might not hit 4 out of 4? This message might be a 3 out of 4 to you. But if you already make up your mind this doesn't apply to you, then you put up the wall and push the Holy Spirit out. So, I'm reading out of the NLV. But I like the wording of this, so I want you to catch this story. This is Mark chapter 8, verses 16 through 29. Just listen to me as I read this. What is all this arguing about? Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He was possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him go. And whenever the spirit seizes him, throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I ask your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they could not do it. Jesus said to them, "You faithless generation, how long must I be? How long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, foaming at the mouth. "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, "Since he was a little boy, the spirit throws him into the fire and into the water trying to kill him." Now, I said all this to read this. Listen to me very carefully. "Have mercy on us and help us if you can." "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus replied. "Anything is possible to a person who believes." If we're honest, I believe And I've done this too, that sometimes we don't ask God because ultimately we don't believe that He can help us. This had been happening for a long time. There's doctors' reports that you've exalted a doctor above, you've exalted the negative report of the doctor above the Word of God that declares that healing belongs to you because of the covenant of God. And you've allowed other people to convince you. You've known people who have died, who have died early, that have died of a certain sickness and disease, and you've allowed that to dictate to you. And so now you're not even asking God. This happens in all kinds of areas, but it particularly happens a lot as far as healing is concerned. It's absolutely true. And when this guy says, you know what, have mercy on us, you know what, and help us if you can, God's response, I love Jesus' response to him. He says, what do you mean if I can? I believe that's what God is speaking to us. And I think if we'll be honest with us, there's situations in our life. There's things that have become, listen to me, strongholds in our life that we are convinced. You know what? And so you're called to be pure. You're called to wait. You're called to be disciplined. You've been waiting for that right person. You've been believing that God is going to bring that right person in your life. You're not going to compromise until you got to be 36 years old. And at 36 years old, you said, that's it. I'm Friday night, I'm going to the honky-tonk. And as long as they got a job, I'm going to take that guy. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You know what? I'm married to my spouse, and you know what? And I've been walking in forgiveness. I've been trusting God. I've been believing, you know what, for them and believing that this is going to happen. But you know what? It's been 4 years, and I've had enough. I don't have to take this anymore. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Amen. And we're a believer. We're called to call the things that are not. We're called to do what Jesus does, to call the things that are not as though they were. The Bible says, don't grow weary in doing good. Come on, who am I preaching to today? You know what? And yet we have believed a bad report. We have become like that person who says, God, I mean, we're not asking in faith. We're asking in doubt and unbelief, if we even ask. And some of us, if truth be told, we don't even ask God anymore. We have believed the report of the doctor. We believe the report of our history. We have accepted, well, it is what it is. God says today, what's up with that? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He says to us today, he says, what do you mean? I don't understand that. You know what God loves? You know what God calls worship? When people in the Bible who had all kinds of sicknesses and diseases and all kinds of troubles, and some of those sicknesses and diseases, there was no medical solution. Guys, we are beyond that. We are supernatural people. Amen? Amen? And I know we live on this earth. I know we have to work through some things. But don't grow weary doing good. Don't stop believing for the supernatural. For the Bible says, you know what? If you do not lose heart, if you do not quit, you will reap a harvest. Amen. See, why did the lady with the issue of blood go to Jesus? Because let me tell you about her. She could have said, let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus is just like all the others. They promise this, but they're big on the promise, but they're short on the delivery. What would have happened to her? Same thing that James says. You have not because you ask not. Amen. See, as soon as you start to believe in the negative report, then because here's why. Because you can't walk in faith and walk in doubt and unbelief at the same time. James says, when you do that, don't even expect to receive from God. Why? Because you're not walking in faith. What is faith? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the assurance of things what? Not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary or inferior. But the things that are not seen are superior. That's what the Bible says. So why in the world do you want to listen to the negative report? Because as you're listening to the negative report, you're going to let go of the good report. And then what are you going to live? Then you're going to live in that report. Amen. And as I'm studying this out, I'm thinking, man, why this is so simple. Why aren't we asking? And the Holy Spirit brings up this passage to me. And I thought, you know what? That's absolutely true. How many would raise your hands in your life? Now I'm asking. And say, there's times when you won't even ask God because it seems too good to be true. You know how many times Jesus says, in the King James, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you. You know how many times he says, assuredly, New King James says, assuredly, I'm telling you the truth. All the time. You know why? Because he's about to say something that is going to be... You're about to do a Scooby-Doo. Right? Listen. If you allow yourself the integrity to examine yourself, then you allow yourself the ability to get out of that unbelief. If you automatically say, oh, don't apply to me. I trust God for everything. I believe God can do anything. Well, yeah, you believe God can do anything with your verbal mouth on Sunday. But what about Tuesday when the doctor shows you the x-ray? Because let me tell you what, that's when the rubber meets the road on Tuesday, not on Sunday. Shake your head like this if this is making sense. Number three, why don't we ask? Number one, sometimes we get too busy or too blessed. Number two, you know what? Sometimes we really don't believe that God can help us if we're going to be honest. Number three, sometimes we don't ask because, man, you look at your neighbor and say, man, you really came at the right day. Okay. Can you know, to quote, I don't know who said that, you know, can you handle the truth on this? Come on, how many raise your hand if you really want to know number three? Some of you are like, Okay. Yeah, you guys are good. You can handle this. Watch this. Number three. Sometimes we don't ask because we really don't want to hear what God has to say to us. Hello? God, help me with my marriage. You know, sometimes your flesh, it's easier or funner in the flesh. It's funner just to be embittered to your spouse, make him the enemy, make her the enemy, make them the one. It's always, and God hasn't called you to become embittered. God, have you ever thought this? Maybe you are put in that position to be the one who helps redeem your spouse out of his mess. Huh? Here, let me make it easier for you. How many know someone, not you, how many know someone? No, really, it's easier sometimes to see sin in other people than in you. Now, you all know this. I'm going to you eventually. But let's just get there first. How many know someone who you can tell they enjoy rehashing the wounds that their spouse has done to them? Raise your hand if you know. I'm not going to pick and say who it is. Just raise your hand if you know someone. Or maybe it's not their spouse. Maybe they just love complaining about management, complaining about their boss, complaining about their job, complaining about being mistreated. You know, listen to me. I don't know who this is for, but what we need to listen to this as a church, because this is happening to our society. Our society is being drugged down a very evil road of being a victim. And you can't be a victim and a victor. And listen, it's happening in the church. Here's what the Bible says. If God is for you, who can be against you? That's what the Bible says. That's what should be being preached from pulpits all over. Instead of this garbage about, you know what, you have been victimized. Of course we've been victimized. All of us have. But that ain't going to help you. What's going to help you is to be washed in the blood and start to act like Jesus, who says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And after they've done it time after time after time, what Jesus says, you know what? Seven times, what is your problem? Seven times 70. That's right. Come on. Stop counting. That's what Jesus is saying. Some of us have convinced ourselves that, you know what, we can count, and there's some certain number that we're justified to become in our bitterness. And so we're not asking God to fix our marriages, because we just really, you know what it's like? Who is the guy who went to Nineveh or didn't want to go to Nineveh? Jonah. Jonah's like, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I enjoy calling those people heathens. Those are evil, ugly. I enjoy my hate speech. Hello? How many know what I'm talking about? Man, get off it. You are called a ministry of reconciliation. You're acting like Satan. No, we need to come in grips. This is demonic. How dare him, you know what, have that attitude? Change my heart, oh God. Amen. May it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. What? May I be like you. That's our calling. Our calling isn't down here, guys. Repent. Get the bitterness out. Get the love of Jesus Christ. The love of God has been poured out into your heart. Hope doesn't disappoint. Stop thinking it does. Amen. God, help me in my finances. I mean, we don't want to ask that prayer. How many know the main way that God's going to help us out of our finances? Give, and it will come back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Give. What? And it will come back to you when you give. Give to the Lord. People rob God when they don't give tithes and offerings. Come on. And they don't understand why they've been cut off from heavenly blessings. The abundant life of prosperity begins when you prove your love to God by giving to Him. So, see, could it be that this message is a good message? Could this be that God knows what's going on? Could it be that we've been in self-deception? Could it be that we're not walking in the problem-solving partner that we have in God because we're not asking them? And could it be that we don't ask sometimes because we know what he's going to say? And we don't want to do that. Could that be? What I want to ask God about my finances, I don't want God in my finances. Because if I get God in my finances, and it's really a lack of trust, and you start to think, no, I don't want to do that. Well, if you understand the totality of God's word, you understand God is not asking you to give that you would be have less. God is asking you to give that you would have more. It really, listen to me, it really shows what's going on in your heart. Amen. There's been politicians and talk about how we should give to the poor and give to the poor and how we should have all this. And then you look at their tax, then they have to show their tax stuff and you find out, oh my goodness, this person made, $800,000 and they gave less than, it's crazy. It's like not 10%, they gave less than 1%, less than 0.5%. What do you do to people? I just say, you're a hypocrite. Talk about caring about the poor. You make $500,000 and you can't scrape up $500 in the whole year. It's ridiculous. Guys, please figure it out. And figure out in your own life first. God, help me to be loving. See, God, I'm unloving. Help me to be loving. What's God going to say? He's going to say, well, I'll tell you what, you can't, you're not going to love anybody. You won't forgive. Here, you want my help?
Yeah.
Walk in forgiveness. See, sometimes could it be that we're not asking because we really don't want to, hear the answer. I'm asking. Paul writes this. He says, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? That's Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. Then Hebrews 12:11 says this. In the NIV version, it says this: no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Somebody say painful.
Painful.
See, we don't want to hear. It's going to be painful when he tells us, corrects us.
Yeah.
How in the world? Watch this. You're going north on the 605 freeway. You want to get to the beach. How does God fix that if he doesn't tell you the truth? Oh, I ain't going to ask because I don't want to be wrong. And next thing you know, you're in Big Bear. Amen? Right? Or I don't know. You're not in Big Bear. Where are you? I don't even know where you are. You're in Monrovia. That's where you are. You're in the Little Mountains. Are you learning something? Is somebody already recognizing that maybe you have not because you ask and not? I'm asking somebody. Is somebody recognizing maybe you're not so quick to ask God? Maybe this message was for you. And then last, but by no way close to least. We just forget. Sometimes we don't ask because we just forget about the relationship that we have with God. We just forget. We just get, watch this, we just get so into this Christianese that we forget. Here's what the Bible says. That the Israelites, when God was providing for them with the manna, if they went out and got 2 days worth of manna, because whatever, they were lazy or whatever it was, they didn't think God was going to take care of them, that second day, maggots would form in that manna. Okay, what does God want? He wants you to pray. How should we pray? Pray, God, give us our what? Daily. Come on, come on. Come on, do I have any ex-Catholics in the house? Come on, somebody. What kind of bread? What kind of bread? What kind of bread? Daily bread. God doesn't intend for us to hang out with Him once a week, twice a week, when we get around to it. In that passage in Deuteronomy, one of the things is He says, when all this happens, you know what? You could forget me. Sometimes we just forget who we have right next to us who could solve our problem. I mean, hearing what I'm saying. Let's close with this. This a whopper. Look at your neighbor. Say, this a whopper. Turn to Revelation, chapter 3. Listen. Everybody, say this with me. It's about relationship. It's about relationship. And it's about relationship. Here. Let me teach the Bible in. Let me teach the Bible in three words. Well, four words. It is about relationship. Well, what did I just teach? I just taught Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. I just taught Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I just taught you the whole book. You say, what did you learn at church? Man, I go to a good church. Pastor taught me the whole Bible in one service. Okay, well, there's all kinds of depths to that. But the reality is, it's about relationship. That is the whole Bible. And so, in Revelation, let's start Revelation chapter 3. Start with verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans writes, these things says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were hot or cold. Come and remember when you first started dating your wife. Come on. I mean, you were nuts for her. Amen? Amen. How many know Tamara likes candy? How many know Tamara likes candy? She don't like candy like I like candy. I like chocolate. I like chocolate almonds, M&Ms, peanut M&Ms. I like C's. I really like C's. I don't like snowballs. But anyway. But Tamara likes other kind of candy. She likes sour worms and sour patch and sour ropes and sour ropes, all that stuff. And when we were dating, you know what? I used to go by the check stand and give her sour candy. Amen? Praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. How many did some nice things when your wife wasn't your wife? She was just your girlfriend. How many? Some of you too old to remember that. Come on. How many ladies? How many remember doing nice things for your husband back then? Hello? You know, that was your boyfriend. You know what? My sister used to tick me off. Sister used to tick me off, man. She would bake brownies. She would bake brownies, and I'd go, brownies. You know how brownies can fill the whole house with the smell? It's like, I am Brownie. Come get me. And I'd come get the brownie. And I wouldn't even get to touch the brownie. And my sister would slap my hand and say, no, that's for my boyfriend. That is whack, man. That's just whack. Is it not? Can I tell you what? God wants you to make up your mind. He don't want you to be, you know what, lukewarm. You know, if you're going to get off the boat, get off the boat. Remember he told, when those were leaving, look at the apostles. He's like, don't leave me, don't leave me. It's not what he said. He said, you want to go? Hook them up, dude. It's right there. There's the door. God's not looking for any of us to leave him. But God doesn't appreciate this non-passion for him. So he says, you know what? I would that you be hot or cold. So then because you were lukewarm and neither hot and cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, watch this. Here's the problem. The problem is you think you are self-sufficient. Notice, watch this. Come on, can I teach somebody the word today? Look what it says. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy. See, you were jacked up. And then you came into the family of God, started putting principles in God. God started blessing you. And now you think you don't need him anymore? Wow. You have become wealthy. You have need of nothing. And watch this. And do not know. That's what you think you are. How are you? Watch this. You are wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. I counsel you to buy from me. I am the one. You need my help. Ask God. Refined me gold refined in the fire that you might be rich. I want you really to be rich. Come to me and start asking of me. And white garments, that you might be clothed, that the same, watch this, that the shame of your nakedness might be revealed. I want you to get a perspective of what's really going on. And when you get a perspective of what's really going on, you're going to start asking me for help because you're going to know how jacked up you are. Amen? And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you might see. You're blind. You don't even know what's going on in your life. You're going day after day, week after week, month after month, and not even asking me of my help. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and I challenge. I'm not telling you this because I don't love you. I'm telling you this because here's what you are. You're blind, you're naked, you think you're rich, and you won't even ask me. And I'm right there for you. I could help you, but you won't ask because you think you don't need me. Therefore, be zealous and repent. What's repent? Repent is recognize what's going on, get up, turn around, do a 180. Stop resisting me and come towards me. Behold, then watch this. Again, powerful scripture put in the context becomes more powerful. Behold, check this out. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. You can have everything I have. I am not here to withhold anything from you. If you lack wisdom, ask of God, who will give to you liberally without reproach. 21, to him who overcomes. Now, I kept on reading here because I could stop there, but I just want you to catch this. Because people don't even understand how willing God is to give to us. And you have to read this because if I quoted it, you wouldn't believe me. It's one of those. Some people will even, if I quoted it, you'd say, you know what you'd say? You'd say, that was heresy. that I should walk in humility. Well, I'm just quoting the word to you, guys. Watch this. To him who overcomes. He's saying, hey, guys, invite me in and I'll help you out of your mess. Now, what are you? Now you become an overcomer because you're not dealing with just your own lack of intelligence to know how to fix your stuff. Now you're tapping into my intelligence. You're tapping into my supernatural guidance. Does this make sense? So what are you going to do now? Now you're going to overcome. Amen. Who wants to become an overcomer? Who wants to get out of your mess? You say, yeah, but the Bible says that, you know what, that to the righteous, you know what, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Yeah, but read the rest. The Bible says, but out of them all, God delivers us from. Is that what it says? That's what it says. Amen. So if you will invite me in, into your mess, into your life, into every area that you don't know how to fix, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get you out of your mess. Now, let me tell you, now that you're out of your mess, let me tell you what awaits you. I'll tell you what. It is. Look at your neighbor, say, it's big. To whom overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Yeah. Pastor, what are you going to do someday? I'm going to sit on the throne. I'm going to sit on Jesus' throne. Yeah. See, how many know that teaching would get you kicked out of a lot of churches? How many know that's true? Well, if you don't know it, it is true. Bunch of people who don't even know the word have no idea how much God loves you, have no idea how much God is willing to give to you. Don't get upset with me. That's what Jesus said. Amen. Who gets that? Whoa, who gets? All eyes up here. No cheating. Okay, you can cheat. Look at your Bible. Who gets that? It's not cheating. Who gets, you do, but look at your Bible. Tell me who gets that. All who overcome. How do we overcome? Guys, I want to help you. I want to help your marriage. I want to help your finances. I want to help you in any situation. I want to help you and you have no idea how to raise that 13-year-old boy. I want to help you. I stand at the door and knock. And anyone who opens a door, I'm going to come in and I'm going to have dinner with them. I'm going to have a meal with them. You can ask me anything you want, and I won't withhold it from you. If you lack wisdom, ask. Let me tell you what I'll do. I'm sitting right there at your table. I'll tell you how to fix your marriage. I'll tell you how to get out of your financial mess. I'll tell you how to, whatever your mess is, I'll tell you how to get out. And we're going to overcome. But you got to open the door. I know that passage is used as we, and I use it, and I don't believe theologically there's anything wrong with using that passage there. But when I read it in context, it certainly would apply to people who have already been saved, but have drifted far away from God. How many glad you came today? How many learned something today? If you want to accept Jesus in your heart, it's only going to take us a couple minutes because it's so easy. Jesus has already done the work. All you have to do is ask Jesus in your heart. Could you pray this after me? Jesus, come in my heart. I want to become a Christian today. Forgive me for all my sin. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I want to commit my life to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you said that prayer, start making hope your church. Give us a year. Come every Sunday. Come every Wednesday. Well, Wednesday, we're through the internet, but until we open up on Wednesday, come, connect. Watch what will happen in your life. Let me teach you line upon line, precept upon precept. In a very little time, God will start changing you from the inside out. Now, for everybody else who, in one of these points, two of these points, three of these points, all four of these points, the Holy Spirit convicted you and you need to make a correction. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand right now, unapologetically, not ashamed, recognizing God's reading your mail, and now is the time for you to correct. Father, you see the hands that are up. My hand's up. Help us in all areas that you've convicted us from. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Well, blessings to you. If you're, I don't know what you have plans on Thanksgiving, but I want to say this. If you're planning something with family members, how many know sometimes Christmas and Thanksgiving can be challenging? Be prayed up, be prepared, recognize you can be a great influence to help these people that are your family. God has called you to minister to them many times. Be prayed up so that you say what you should say and shut up what you should shut up. Come on. And be sensitive to do both. Don't let comfortable be your guide. Listen, this is some pastorally advice. Don't let comfortable be your guide. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide. Okay? And sometimes that means saying stuff that you feel uncomfortable. Sometimes that means shutting up when you want to just express yourself. Okay? That's free. That's added bonus. But somebody needs to hear that. Okay?